Well, welcome back to our discussion of the deep dive into the Office 365 app model. Again, Scott Hillier, Ted Patterson still with me here, and we're on the last module of the course, Application Lifecycle Management. Let's go ahead and take a look at just the agenda here. We've got a pretty concise agenda that we're going to be following. We're going to do a little bit of an overview of Application Lifecycle Management, followed by a specific discussion of how Application Lifecycle Management applies inside of Office 365, and then a brief discussion of testing and some testing considerations as part of Application Lifecycle Management inside of Office 365. Okay, so overview, what is Application Lifecycle Management? Application Lifecycle Management is this process of managing the lifecycle of an app, an application, through a bunch of different stages that involve planning, creation, deployment, and testing. And the idea behind this Application Lifecycle Management is that, you know, this is a continuous process that you engage in, and that in order to do this correctly, it's something that you're going to need a good set of tools for. So, and we're also sort of implying in all of this as well that this is a team-based activity. So a process involving a team-based activity to manage your application development process and lifecycle through a continuous set of stages. Oh, there we go. So this is a visual here of the lifecycle. And again, what we're talking about here is just a continuous process of planning, development and testing, releasing something, monitoring that application, learning from it, and then feeding that back into new requirements. So from a high level, a pretty simple idea. But again, the thing here is that this is a continuous process that we're engaging in to always make things better. When we think about the tools necessary to help us implement Application Lifecycle Management, we want to think about Team Foundation Server. Team Foundation Server, or TFS, really has the technologies that we need to implement Application Lifecycle Management, things like source repositories where we can have source code control, automated builds and continuous integration, feedback, test case management, the ability to collaborate inside of team rooms. So this is really the foundation of what we're going to use is the technology to implement it. And now TFS, Team Foundation Server, you know, you can install that thing locally and set it up yourself, or you can take advantage of Visual Studio Online and have this done in the cloud for you. So we're going to be looking at this Visual Studio Online in this module and how we have that implementation of TFS with it and how we can use it with our Office 365 development to support that continuous process. Some of the things that we get inside of this set of tools that will be important to us in Application Lifecycle Management are, first of all, work item tracking. So I can assign, you know, work items to people, bugs that need to be corrected, those types of things. Directly from various tool sets like Visual Studio, I can look at them in Excel or Project, and we can do things like, you know, query for them, look at our own task list, that type of thing. We can also get version control out of this, so that's critical. And when we do version control in our Application Lifecycle Management, we can either use the Team Foundation version control system, or we can use GitHub. So, you know, Git is something that's becoming increasingly popular, right, Ted? I have several projects that are running in Git, and it's something that you use too.
Yeah, and the Microsoft community, the Microsoft developer community is really embracing it, you know, as the rest of the world is, so.
Yeah, and in fact, the things that we have available, the artifacts that we have available for this training course are all in a GitHub repository. So, you know, TFS is familiar to a lot of folks, but certainly GitHub is gaining a lot of traction as well. So we can use either one of those in our Application Lifecycle Management. And then we're going to have a web portal that enables us to gain access to some basic information as well. Build automation is another key consideration in Application Lifecycle Management. This is the idea that we can automate build and deployment steps so that, for example, when people check in new code, we can get an automated build and deployment. And this is also known as continuous integration, the idea that as developers create new things that get checked in, they automatically get integrated into the test environment for testing. And we can couple that with other TFS components like the work item tracking or testing tools, that type of thing. In our application lifecycle management suite, we're also going to have reporting built on SQL Server reporting services and analysis services, where we can get customized reports so we can look at outstanding work items and we can track our project as it goes along. When we consider that visual of the overall application lifecycle management, the planning, the development, the release, and then the operating and the feedback, this slide shows how some of the tooling in the suite that we're talking about fits into these various areas. So one of the things you can see is that there's a significant amount of functionality here. And really, all we're trying to do in this module is kind of introduce some of this application lifecycle management to the Office 365 development community. So we're obviously not going to be able to cover all these things, but I think an important takeaway here is that there's a rich set of tooling involved in allowing you to implement the application lifecycle management process, and well worth some additional investigation. Okay, well, what we're going to do now is let's get started with this so we can see some of this stuff in action. And we're just going to take a look at creating a basic provider-hosted app in inside of Source Control. So what we're going to do is we're going to start. Let's come over here and let's get started by going into Windows Azure. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the browser here. We're going to go manage.windowsazure.com. And of course, we'll have to log in. So we'll log in using our organizational account. And the password here. Okay, so now we're inside of the Azure portal, where we've been several times throughout the course. Here it comes. But the reason that I brought you in here is to point out that inside of Azure, if you slide down a little bit, you'll see that there is a Visual Studio Online section here. And I can click on this, and it shows me the various Visual Studio Online instances that I have. Now, in order to get started with this ALM process, and key to what we'll be doing in this module, is you'll need to have Visual Studio Online. So if you followed us in earlier modules where we built out the Office 365 tenancy and we got an Azure subscription, then you can use your organizational account to come in here to the Visual Studio Online section and just create a new Visual Studio Online. You can see over here on the right that I already have one here at msacademy.visualstudio. And directly here from within Azure, I can go ahead and click on that. And it's going to take me to the web portal for Visual Studio Online. So the Visual Studio Online web portal is a place where I can create new team projects. And when I create the new team projects inside of Visual Studio Online, then I'm going to get the capability to have things like source control or work items or testing all built into that. So this is the place that contains that, you know, that largest container of our work, which is that that team project. So once you've got yourself set up with Visual Studio Online, then you know a lot of the work that you want to do can just be done directly from Visual Studio 2013. So we're going to start off our little demo here by creating a new team project. So I'm going to come up here and click File, New, and not Project this time, but let's go ahead and create a new team project. And what happens when I create the new team project is I'll be taken into that Visual Studio Online. So from within Visual Studio 2013, you get launched into the portal that we were just looking at, and it pops open the new team project dialog so we can go ahead and create this. And let's just call this the Academy ALM team project, like that, all right? And that's really all we need to do to go ahead and get started. I can create the project. You can see that I have some options to set here, like what my process is going to be, my template. So are we going to be using Scrum here? And then what's my version control? Is this going to be in Team Foundation or is it going to be in Git? And we're going to go ahead and pick TFS for this one and then click Create. All right, so this thing is done. Pretty easy thing to do. Go ahead and create that project. And now what we can do is we can come back into Visual Studio. And over here where we, you know, have the Solution Explorer, once we're connected into our Visual Studio instance, we can go ahead and look at it from there. So what you would do is come into your team menu here, and you'd be able to connect to your Team Foundation server from here, which I've already done. And then we can go to the Team Explorer tab here and click on Source Control Explorer, which is going to allow me to look at all the different team projects I have. And then right there already, you can see that I've picked up the Academy ALM team project. So that's available to me here inside of Visual Studio. Now, what I'm going to do is go ahead and right click on my instance here, and I'm going to say get latest version, because you can see that it's kind of grayed out, meaning I haven't pulled this down onto my local environment, right? So here, this is going to pull it down onto my local environment and allow me to work with it. Okay, so now once I have this thing, once I've got this thing in place, this Academy ALM project, you open it up and you can see that there's a folder in here for build process templates, which we'll be making use of a little bit later when we do some continuous integration. But now at this point, I can go ahead and create a project. So let's do a basic provider-hosted app. We're going to come in and give ourselves a new project. Going to be an app for SharePoint. Got to find a place to put it. So I'm going to go onto my local hard drive here, where you can see I have that Academy ALM team project. So this got pulled down when I did a get latest. And we're going to go ahead and put our project inside of there. Select that one. And now notice down here at the bottom, what I've done is I've selected the add to source control option here, because the idea is that I want my project to show up inside of Team Foundation server. All right, so this is going to be our, I don't know, what do we call it? We'll call it ALM app. Good enough?
That's a great name.
Very descriptive. So we're good with the names. All right, so I like it. I think we're okay, right? Let's go ahead and click OK. And then, you know, from here, we see things that we've seen time and time again. So I need to pick a site where I'm going to debug. This is Module 8. So I think I got the correct site there. We're pointing at the Module 8 site. We're going to do a provider-hosted app. Sounds good. Click Next. What are we going to do? We're going to do web forms or MVC. I'm an MVC guy.
Going to
do
MVC.
MVC, love it. All right, clicking Next. And then we're in the cloud, of course, so we're going to be using Azure Access Control Services for our provider-hosted app. And then we're going to go ahead and click Finish. All right, so this is going to build it out. Of course, I'm going to have to log in. In order to finish setting this thing up, click on Sign In. All right, it's going to town. So there really isn't anything different here about the process of creating this provider-hosted app, right? We've got ourselves the basic provider-hosted app. I'm not going to do anything exciting with the code. This is still just pulling out my name and welcoming me, so we'll just leave that exactly as it is. But if I come back to our Source Control Explorer now, we can see that our ALM app is now part of our team project up there. So we've got that new project inside of that team project. And what we can do now is we can still go through that same deployment process. So let's go ahead and set this up and deploy it into the cloud, following the same set of steps that that we've done in the past. And what we'll need to do first of all, right, is I'll have to log into our SharePoint environment. So let's get that taken care of. All right, and here I am. And now what's the first thing I want to do, Ted? We should go to AppReg New?
AppReg New, create a new app security principle.
All right, so let's go to appregnew.aspx, right? We've seen this page before where I can register. Okay, I like that. I've got to fill a few things out here, right? So I think what I'd like to do is let's come into Visual Studio and focus on the remote web project here. And what I'm going to do with the remote web project is we're going to come down here, right click it, and say publish. And my idea here, Ted, is that we're going to go ahead and create that Azure website, because we need to know exactly where it's going to be, right? So
makes
we're
sense.
Going to come down here and create a new one. And I need a unique name for it. So what do you like here? Give me something that's going to work the first time.
Something's going to work. Ted and Scott site.
Oh, wow. Okay, now I got to remember that. Ted and Scott, AzureWebsites.net. Now, that would have been interesting if it had already been taken.
It would.
But it's not, so we're going to use Ted and Scott as our URL. All right, I'll drop down the region here. We'll do the West region. Sounds good. And we'll go ahead and click Create. This will build out the website in Azure, right? Give us a place to target our deployment. And now we've got this thing right here. Here is our target for the deployment, okay? Although our real destination is going to have an S when we're done,
that's right.
Okay.
To put that S inside there.
Yep, but we can go ahead and publish from here and just push everything up. That'll work just dandy. Okay, now while that's getting going, let's go back to our register spot here, and now I can start to fill this out, right? Oh, of course, just when I want to do that, the deployment finishes, and now it's trying to launch our application. Now, we expect an error here, right? Because we really haven't done anything. So if you look up here at the URL, this is the one that we're going to be targeting, okay? But nothing to show yet. So we'll leave that back here to the app reg new. I'm going to generate a client ID. I'm going to generate a client secret. Sounds good. And our app title, we need a title, so we'll say Ted and Scott Adventure. How's that?
That sounds good.
You like that? The Ted and Scott Adventure. Our app domain is the domain where our Azure website is, right? So Ted and Scott, Azure websites. And then we need that redirect URI in case we're using that code we were talking about earlier. Where do we go? And this time I'll be sure to put the S in. You like that? We look good?
That looks good.
All right, so it looks good. Go ahead and click Create. And then as expected, I get client ID, client secret stuff all back saying that we've done a good job here. And now I got to do a couple of things. So one of the things that I want to do is go back into Azure now, and we're going to come up to our Azure websites where we expect to find our the one that we just created there. There it is. Good. Ted and Scott, right? So here's the Ted and Scott one. I'm going to click on Ted and Scott, click on Configure, and then what we need to do is we need to create a spot in here for the client ID and client secret, right? Because that doesn't get sent up here automatically from our development environment. So I'm going to come down to the app settings, and we're going to add the client ID and client secret. And you're watching my spelling, right?
I am watching.
That's your job. That's the most important job. Make sure I don't misspell. All right. Grab the client ID out of here. The next most important job is to make sure that I get the copy and pastes right.
Without spaces before.
No spaces, right. So there we go. Looking good. Back to the client secret. This one almost always adds an extra space when I copy it. Back to the client secret. There it is. See, spaces. Let's make sure we get that cleaned up. Looking good. There's another space. Looking good. All right, so I'm happy with that. Let's go ahead and save that. Click Save. Now, while that's working, the next thing that I like to do is I like to clean all this stuff up, too, inside of Visual Studio so that our debugging information all contains the client IDs, et cetera, that we have in place up in Azure. So I'm going to come down to the web.config here. And here's where we have our client secret and client ID. So here's an old client secret floating around in there. We're going to replace that with our new one, like that. And then we're going to do the same thing with our client ID. Let's go ahead and grab that. And back here, client ID, right? Because this is where it's expected to be inside that web.config. So I like to set this up where it's consistent across what we have for debugging and for deployment. Next, what I'm going to do is come up here and kind of clean up the app manifest. So inside the app manifest, let's right-click it and do a view code. I like to do this work inside the XML view. So I'm adding that client ID. We've seen this before. And then I've got this start page, which is currently using that remote app token. But we want to replace that too, right? So I'm just going to snag the redirect URI here, copy that, and then what we'll do is paste that in right there. And I think we're looking pretty good with that. Let's go ahead and save that out. All right, good. I think we're okay with that.
Yeah, it looks good.
All right, so next. So we should have the remote web all done right now, right? I'm happy with that? This guy's done. And now what we're gonna do is come up to the SharePoint part, the SharePoint project, click on that and say publish. Click on package the app, right? And then it asks me what's the URL, right? And we'll remember that we needed to add that S, and there it is, that's the URL we want it to go to. And then we're also gonna grab that client ID, which it wants for the packaging process as well. Come back to Visual Studio, paste that in, click finish, and as expected, I get my .app file, right? So we're looking good. We've done this process a few times in the course, and so that's why I'm kind of breezing through it here, because I'm hoping it's something that everybody feels, you know, reasonably comfortable with. We're gonna come back to our page where we did registration, and now I'm gonna come up to administration, go to SharePoint, and what we're looking to do is go to our app catalog now. So, you know, if I knew the URL off the top of my head, I could certainly go there, but I find the easy way is to go to the apps section, and then in the apps section, you can click on app catalog, and if the app catalog exists already, then it just politely takes you to it. So that's the easy way to get there. And then here inside my corporate catalog, I can go to apps for SharePoint, and I'll say I'm gonna upload an APP file, click browse, put in the file directory to the file we want. There it is, there's our ALM app. Click OK. And it's in, looking pretty good. I feel good about where we are. So now what I should be able to do is find my way back to the home. I've got myself a lifecycle site that we're gonna go into. So I'm gonna scroll down here and here's our app lifecycle management site where we can do some of our work. Click on that guy.
So what's the next step? Install the app?
Yeah, so if life is good, right, we should now be able to go to the contents here, the site contents, and actually install it. So let's come up to add an app, right? And here we can say from your organization, which we'll look in my app catalog. And as expected, there's our ALM app, looking good. So I'm gonna click on that. Next thing we get is the trust dialog, right? So do you trust Ted and Scott's adventure? Do you?
You would have to.
Do you trust Ted and Scott's adventure? Well,
no,
I guess
that's no risk, no reward.
That's what it's been all day, Ted and Scott's adventure. All right, I click trust it. Does its thing. You can see that it's adding in right now. Give it a second. There it is. Moment of truth, click on it. Dun, 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 dun.
Will it say hello, Scott Hillier?
Boom, and
welcome.
There it is. Welcome, Scott Hillier, right? So we did it, we're good. We've seen this before. This is that process again of deploying a provider-hosted app into SharePoint online, right, Office 365. But what we're gonna do now is come back here and we're just gonna take a look at the source control, and you'll see that this thing now is all in source control, right? So what I can do is I can come to my solution now and I can say that I wanna check it in. So I'm gonna click on check it in, and then it's gonna come over here and ask me to make a comment, and you know, I'm just gonna say original code, how about that? And we'll go ahead and say check it in, click on that, and continue, yes, we're gonna do it. We'll let this thing go to town for a little bit, and all of my code gets checked in. So now what you can see here is the process that we went through to create a provider-hosted app and deploy it. But now my code is all under source control. So if I wanted you to be able to work on it now, Ted, we could share this code, we could work on it together and manage it in a way that wasn't possible before we were using TFS.
That's correct.
All right, so that looks good. Let's go ahead and jump back to the slides and talk a little bit more about some concepts here. Okay, so now we've got our code in source code control. And so what we want to do now is talk a little bit more specifically about application lifecycle management for the Office 365 developer. A couple of things here. When you consider Office 365 application lifecycle management, a lot of times people are confused about exactly how to set those environments up. Like, you know, should I have my own environment? Should every member have their own environment? And the recommendations that we're making is that when it comes to dev, and by that I mean, you know, you sitting there banging out code with no dependencies on anybody else, that kind of environment, then what we're recommending is that each developer get their own Office 365 development site in an isolated tenant. So the idea is at the lowest level where I'm making new code, I don't want to impact other people. I don't want other people to be impacted by what I do. I just need a place to write some code. And it's super easy to get your own developer environment, right? So, I mean, you can even sign up for one and have your own developer environment. So give everybody on your team their own dev environment. But then what happens is you need at some point for all that stuff to come together. So you'll need a test environment. And in that test environment, you're just going to have an isolated tenant for integration testing. So a place where all that development work can come together. If I do have dependencies on other developers, that's the place where that kind of thing would all come together. Okay, if we look back at the slide then, we can talk a little bit about the build process. And one of the key concepts that we want to get in this module is the idea of continuous integration. We want to utilize continuous integration. And what that means is that when we check in code, we want to engage in an automated build process. That, you know, because Ted, you know, that process we went through to get the thing deployed, to get the provider-hosted app deployed, that's non-trivial, right? I mean, you have to see that a few times before you really feel comfortable with it. And the idea of continuous integration would be that you wouldn't have to repeat that every single time. Wouldn't it be nice if I checked in that code and it just happened?
Right. That would be a nice thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're shooting for. And then Azure is going to support that idea of continuous integration because we can point to that Azure website that we made and then tie that into Visual Studio in a way that says, hey, I want to support this automated build and deployment. The other thing to be concerned about in your build process is testing. We'll talk a little bit more about testing at the end here just to kind of point you in the right direction and get you started. But if you're going to engage in continuous integration, you're going to build projects and have them automatically go out, then it's also nice to have build verification tests that you can use to validate that the thing you just pushed out there didn't break anything, didn't result in regression errors, and in fact, you know, is giving us the new functionality that we want. So when it comes to continuous integration, this is sort of a visual to help you understand what we mean. When we're talking about continuous integration, we mean that our developer over here in step number one is checking code in to Visual Studio Online or, you know, a local TFS. And then in step number two, it's that that infrastructure is going to handle all of the automated storage of the source code, the building, build verification test, all of those things can be handled just because new code got checked in. And then we can also have people involved in number three, we can also have people involved in testing as well to test maybe new functionality or user testing, that type of thing. And then finally, what we want is the ability to push that new code out in to SharePoint Online. So in this visual we're looking at here, we're sort of imagining a SharePoint hosted app. So when imagining a SharePoint hosted app, all you're really going to do is be, you know, pushing any new elements of that SharePoint hosted app to SharePoint Online or SharePoint on-premises. So pretty straightforward process. If we think about provider hosted apps, it's still the same idea. We have our developer over here on the left in step number one, checking in some code. And in step number two, we have an automated build process, perhaps that's going on, maybe some additional testing by some human beings involved. And then we have a step four and a five here, which is we need to push some pieces of what we create into Office 365 SharePoint Online. And we also need to push some pieces into Azure. So that if we update, you know, that remote web, it gets deployed as well. And this is probably, you know, this is where you'll find really the most value here, is because we don't have to go through that long process of getting the thing deployed. Basically, you check in code and it just happens for you. Okay, so why don't we take a look at some continuous integration capabilities here. I'm going to go back to the project we were on, right? So at this point, we have our provider-hosted app built. I think we've got basically everything checked in at this point, right? We did a full check-in at the end, so I don't think there's anything new here, right? Okay, nothing new to check in. Everything's there. But now what we're going to do is we're going to sort of imagine, you know, we're developers working on this and we want to make some changes. So I'm going to come into the SharePoint part of this first, and we're going to go ahead and open up the app manifest here. And in the app manifest, let's just do something simple. Let's just change the title of our app here. So we'll call this our ALM Ted and Scott app, like that. All right. And we'll go ahead and save that. All right, so we've made a change to that project. And now the second thing we want to do is make a change here to the web project. So what we'll do is let's come down here and just take a brief look again at the home controller. And so the way this works in MVC5 is the home controller is producing the title of the person who's currently looking at it. And then the way MVC works is there's this mapping right between controllers and views. So what we can do is right click inside the index and we can say go to the view that's associated with this controller action. And when we do, it brings up this view right here, which is the view we saw when we launched our application, right? It just kind of welcomed me and then it had all this additional information down here with various things in it. So what we'll do is, you know, let's just make a simple change here. How about that? And I'm gonna come up to this welcome area here. And I don't know, let's do this. Let's just put another P tag underneath it. How's that? And we'll say, congratulations, you have survived, yep, Ted and Scott's adventure. How about that?
How about app venture?
Okay, app like this, like that.
Hyphenated.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Man, must be the last module of the course.
Must be, and you're putting it in the Jumbotron.
Must be the last
kinda
module
like the
of the course. All right, ready? We're going to save that out. Okay, so make sure I stay on track here. So we've made changes to both places, right? That's looking good. Now, I'm going to hold fire here. We're just going to leave this exactly the way it is. I'm not going to do anything with it yet. Because what we need to do now is we need to go to Azure, and we need to tell Azure about our intent here to have this automatic deployment done. So we'll come back to manage.windowsazure.com.
So you're creating some kind of a trigger that's gonna fire whenever we check something in?
Well, we're telling it, so when we check it in, we're gonna do that in a minute, this build process that sort of triggers, right? But we also need to tell Azure it's okay. It's okay to accept some code here from Visual Studio. It's okay to have this automated deployment go on, right? Because, you know, we certainly need to authorize this. We can't have, you know, we can't have just anybody deploying code to our, you know, to our Azure website. So we gotta make sure we authorize this. So there we go, looking good. Let's sign in. Password. Click sign in. Okay, so inside the Azure portal, what we have to do is go back to that Ted and Scott website that we created. Comes up. As soon as it comes up. Oh, I saw something change.
Should I tell everyone that the demo that we had that had some issues started working the second we stopped that session before?
Yeah, because see, there you go. Exactly, yeah. So what happened was I wasn't able to log in before, but then I was immediately able to log in as soon as we took a break, which is how it always goes. All right, we're trying it again here. Not sure why the portal's giving me a hard time. Oh my gosh. You do have to spell correctly.
Manage.
Boy, there's no telling where we're gonna end up if I'm not careful. All right, let's one more time. msacademy.onmicrosoft.com. Yeah, the logins work great when you're not recording. I like it better. That's what we wanna see. Okay, we're in the Azure portal now. So to get ourselves back on track, right, what we're interested in is looking at that website that we created, that Ted and Scott website. So we'll come up here to websites, gonna click on Ted and Scott, and then look down here at the bottom. It says integrate source control. Nice, it says set up deployment from source control. So this is where we authorize source control to push content here into our website. I'm going to click on this and it says, well, you know, where is your source code? Well, ours is in Visual Studio Online, right? That's where we put it. We click the little arrow button here and it says, where is it? And for us, it's in msacademy.visualstudio.com. Remember, that's the Visual Studio instance I showed you in the first demo. And I can say, let's go ahead and authorize that. And it goes through a little authorization process here where we can make, we see this connection request from Visual Studio Online, and then we accept it. And then we're able to say what repository are we going to be deploying in here. And that's our Academy ALM team project. So we've now wired up our Academy ALM team project from Visual Studio Online with our Windows Azure website. Pretty nice, right?
Looks pretty neat.
Yeah. Okay, so we're close. We're close now. Now what we're going to do is come back, and I still don't want to check in what we're doing yet, because I got a couple more things I want to make happen here. So now that we've got this authorization in place, I'm going to come back to the Team Explorer, go to the home page here on my little Team Explorer, and what we're going to look at is the builds section here. Click on the build section, and then what we expect to have happen is that now that we've wired this thing in, we get this build called the Ted and Scott build here, right? So now Visual Studio knows that it can build something and push it into Azure, and we've got, and this would not have appeared until we wired up the Visual Studio in Azure. And then we can say edit that build definition. And in the build definition, we just kind of have to work our way through these options here. So first of all, it's enabled, that's a good thing. And then you were saying, well, what's the trigger? And our trigger in this case is going to be continuous integration. We want to build on each check-in. So when code gets checked in, we expect a full build and then a push. And it says, well, what are your source settings here? And our source settings here are the ALM app. That's the one that we want to push out, so we don't have to do anything to change that here. And then we can come down to the process that we're using and examine this. And we'll have to do a little something here. These are the steps that it's going to go through to push it out. And what we need to do is come into the deployment section here. Where do you want this deployed? And then you'll notice that within here, there's a special item called the SharePoint Deployment Environment. We're going to click on the ellipsis here, and we need to provide a little bit of information. So what's the deployment settings name? We'll call this the ALM app deployment settings right here. And now we have to specify the URL that we want to push to. Now you'll remember that I showed you previously, we had this special site set up just for this module. So if we go into site contents and we scroll down, we have that app lifecycle management section here. We can click on this. This is where we want to go. So I'm just going to go up here and grab this and copy it out, come back into Visual Studio and say, that's where I want to be. And we'll just back off any of the additional stuff we don't need. That's the site we want to go to. And then I have to say, you know, what are the credentials I'm going to use to get in there? And this is my organizational account that we've been using all along. Go ahead and do that. Click OK. And we're good. You can see my settings are in there now. So now I basically have everything I need wired up in order to make this happen. So what I can do at this point is all I have to do now is just really just check in the solution here. It's coming. Must be thinking. There it goes. All right, so let's get rid of that stuff here. Let's go to the solution. I think we're fine. I mean, I could build this thing just to be sure that we don't have any errors, and we don't, right? But I wouldn't really have to build it, because all I really need to do is come up here, right-click it, and say I want to check it in. So I check in the source code, which reflects the changes that we've made. So over here under the comment, I'm going to say ALM changes demo. That's my comment. And then we're going to go ahead and click check in. You want to check in those two items? That's what we expect, right? I changed two things, right? So we click yes. And then what you can do now is come back to our home, look at the builds that we have. And then what we're going to be able to do is look at the build definitions here. And we can see on the queued tab that we have a build definition queued up. So it hasn't happened yet. It's in the queue, and it will eventually get processed and show up here in the completed section. So, you know, we could sit here and click on refresh a bunch of times and wait, but I'm going to suggest we leave this right where it is, and let's go back and look at a couple of slides and see if we can give this
give it a minute or two.
Give it some time to finish up. Okay. So let's come back now and just kind of finish up. The last thing we really want to talk about is we want to talk about testing. So, you know, what we're looking at now is the continuous integration process and the build process, and we're going to see an example of that. But testing is a pretty important thing because if you're going to engage in this continuous integration process, then you certainly want to have some level of automated testing that will help you to know that what you did, you know, works and you didn't cause any regression errors. So a couple things to consider, we've mentioned this before, is that if you do use different tenants in Office 365, recognize that there is some chance that the different tenants could be on different versions, right? Because the way updates are rolled out to the tenants is they don't get hit all at the same time. So there's some concern that you might have API functionality in one tenant that's not present in another. I mean, generally, I think that's a reasonably small risk, and you don't have to worry too awful much about it, but it is something to note just in case you're using different tenants, the developers have different tenants, the testing environment is a different tenant, anything like that. Okay, so we've got a little visual here of just the idea about testing. And so what we want to do with testing is that, you know, we'd like for when code gets checked in and built and deployed, for us to be able to run some automated testing against that code and then decide whether or not it passes a simple series of tests. And we can set up that testing inside of our Visual Studio Online environment and record those tests. So there's the capability to have somebody walk through a set of steps and then record those set of steps so that they can be executed again following deployment. And then, of course, you have the deployment to SharePoint Online and Microsoft Azure as the two parts that we already discussed. But recognize that you can also have multiple environments. So we can have, you know, builds and releases that are going to integration testing environments or QA user acceptance environments as well. And your test planning could be different in those cases where maybe you're just doing, you know, basic regression testing type thing versus full-blown user acceptance or QA testing. But this is all part of the total package, things that you need to be concerned about when you're setting this up. Okay, let's jump back over and see what's up with Visual Studio and whether or not we've got anything going on. I'll refresh this thing. And it looks like we're in process here. So you can see I now have the little arrow that says we're in process. And while that's going on, what we can do is let's come back over to Azure and I'll just slide down here to the Visual Studio Online. And let's click that link that takes us into the Visual Studio Online portal. And from here, I just want to point out to you how you might start to think about doing the testing. I can come into any of these team projects that I have set up. It doesn't really matter. We just need one that we can kind of look at. And here in Visual Studio Online, you'll notice that up here at the top, you have these various areas where you can control things like your code control, your work items, and the build, which are all the types of things that we're looking at in Visual Studio. And finally, there's tests. Now, one of the things that folks watching us in this series will run into is that if you followed all the steps we did and you set up your own Office 365 and your own Windows Azure and then you use that same account to set up Visual Studio Online, you'll be disappointed to know that the testing part of this isn't supported in that whole free thing. So what you can do, though, is come in here to the portal, look at that test area, and you can learn a little bit more about how to create a test plan. And it'll take you into an article here on the creation of the test plan. But you get some idea of what happens. You can come in and create a new test plan. This shows you the interface here. And you can, you know, of course, provide some information about the naming or what have you. And then what you'll do is specify a set of requirements or a set of steps that somebody is supposed to engage in. And then you're able to run that test and record it, for example, might be one of your outcomes, to set up a test and record it, and then save those steps to be run later. All right, so that's all built into the Visual Studio Online support that we get. All right, let's see if I talked enough to have this thing work. We'll do a refresh, And sure, we get the green check. I'm liking it. It shows up on the completed here. All right, so moment of truth. Now what we're going to do is we're going to come back to our app lifecycle management portal here. And then I'm going to come to the site contents, right? And now what we see is this is called the ALM Ted and Scott app. Isn't that what I changed the title to?
That's exactly right.
That's what we changed the title to, right? So let's pause and think about that for a second. That's pretty cool, right? All I did was check in the code, and that change that I made to the SharePoint portion just appears here. It got pushed out automatically into my Office 365 environment. The real test, though, is what happens when I click this thing.
The website.
Is it going to work? All right, we'll find out. I'm going to click on the thing here. We'll see if I did everything right. It tells me it's working on it. We'll keep our fingers crossed here. Oh, and disappointingly, something's hung up. All right, well, let's pull this thing down. Let's pull this thing down and just grab a file here. So we went through a lot of steps. Something's hung up there. I'll point out to you that the URL that we were going to is the one that we expected, right? So this is the place that we should be. Something obviously kicked in our deployment here of these items. We can go into our build, and I think we're going to see that this thing worked just fine. I don't see any errors and warnings in our deployment here, right? So that's a good thing. But you know what? This gives us an opportunity to kind of say, hey, this is really where the testing part of this whole thing would kick in. We'd like to have not just the build succeed, but wouldn't it be nice now to run an automated test that says, hey, I couldn't get to the homepage. But in theory, we should be able to do exactly that. Not sure why we're getting the internal error here. I think we've done everything that we were supposed to do. I will point out, though, that we did see this change right here. So it's clear that we did push things out and we got our change. Something's obviously amiss with the Azure setup that we have. But at any rate, we're sort of close to the end, so I won't fool around trying to troubleshoot this. I think we've shown the steps that are necessary to get into it. So let's just jump back and wrap. Okay. So just a summary here, what we did was we did a little bit of an overview of application lifecycle management. We focused specifically on Office 365 application lifecycle management, talked about the pieces, and we walked you through the continuous integration part. Disappointingly, we had a little bit of a hang up there at the end, but the steps we showed you are the good steps, they're the right steps to go through, and also point out that the lab that's associated with this module will also walk you through the steps so that you can try it on your own. And then the last thing we did was just to touch on testing a little bit inside of ALM. So, wow, we've reached the end.
Not just the end of the module, but the end of this entire course.
We've reached the end of the entire course. So,
you think they've worked hard just to listen to us go on and on and do our demos? And
we've had a few ups and a few downs, right, as we've gone along the way. So a couple of things to remember here as we're wrapping up. One of these things is that there's a poll associated with the course. So if you guys would fill that out for us, we'd really appreciate it.
Love to see your feedback, how you liked it, how much it helped you.
And the second thing is just Ted and I thanking you really for spending the day with us. It's been a lot of information that we've given out, and certainly if you're new to all this, could feel pretty overwhelming. So we appreciate you guys hanging in there and working through it with us, right?
And also, there are great labs. We've worked to build lab exercises so you can get hands-on reinforcement for all the things that we've covered. So please feel free to dig in. Unfortunately, Scott and I can't do the due diligence to see if you've really done the lab or not, but they will make you a better developer and quite likely a better person.
Yeah, in fact, it's worth just reiterating as we finish up here that not only do we have the labs, but you'll find all the demonstrations that we did, all the completed projects for the labs are in there. So there's really a wealth of information and samples available to you in the repositories that are associated with this course. So other than that,
we'd just like to thank everyone very much for spending the time with us today.
And I think we're all done. Thank you.